Contact you to be a 10-minute speaker. Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is James from San Diego.
My name's James. I'm an alcoholic. I'm grateful to be sober tonight and be a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's been times when I've been sober in Alcoholics Anonymous and not grateful, and there's been times when I've been a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and been drunk and ungrateful. But tonight, you know, I'm actually happy to be here, and you know, I'm just extremely grateful. I'm really grateful that Damien got to ask me to do this tonight. And congratulations to Sammy and Brian and all the token takers and the people that announced themselves as newcomers tonight. Welcome. So what I want to do tonight is I just want to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. When I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was like 26 or 27, and it's probably about 4 years ago. I'm 31 now, and I was in the beer business, and I was desperate, and I came into Alcoholics Anonymous with my tail between my legs, and my life was a mess. I couldn't stop drinking. The only way I could stop drinking is if I went to a hospital or a detox. I'm the type of alcoholic that when I get drunk, I stay drunk until I can get medically induced to stop drinking. I'll drink till the wheels fall off, and my history proves that. And, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I got sober, life got great. I didn't take the steps or anything like that. All I did was just hang around with people that did the work, and I thought through osmosis that I would also get what they've gotten from Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't do any of that stuff. I just hung around. And you know what? If you hang around Alcoholics Anonymous, like, your life will probably get better. For me, it'll get better, but and then it will go away, which is even more detrimental to me. And that hurts. You know, when I see myself build up, and then I get these small things in life, like, you know, start to feel better, and family's around, and maybe get a job and a place to live, and all of a sudden it's gone again. And unfortunately, I had to do that for like 4 years. First time I got sober, I was sober for about a year. I wasn't convinced. I thought it was. I had the perfect alibi, beer business. Went back out drinking. Within 60 days, ended up in a detox on a flight from Connecticut to San Diego to go to rehab. I decided to stay out here because I thought it was Connecticut. It was not Connecticut. So it ended up out here, you know, and then in and out. I remember I was living in the Salvation Army at one point, trying to convince myself that I'm not an alcoholic by only drinking a half pint a night, living in my bunk in a 12-person room in the downtown Salvation Army. And if I get kicked out, that means that I'm on the streets and I'm not an alcoholic. So I had to go through a lot of things like that. And I'm about 14 months sober today, and I got to say that it's been the best 14 months of my life that I can remember. And the reason why is because I was desperate enough to do whatever was suggested to me in Alcoholics Anonymous. And, my last drink was a really bad place. It was a really, really bad place, and that's what it took for me. I ended up going to CMH, and I pretty much drank enough that the human body can handle, and almost too much. And I remember waking up and starting to sober up. I got a full knowledge of my condition, of what alcohol does to me. This isn't about having a good life or a bad life. This is about staying alive, because this is a fatal disease. And, I was lucky enough and desperate enough to walk on to the doors of Pathfinders down in South Park and ask for their help. And when I went in there, I did everything that was suggested to me. I got a sponsor. I took the steps immediately, and things started to get better. And it was a great place to sober up, and it was a great place to take the steps and kind of just slow my life down for a minute and just give up all the little things in life. I had this little apartment in North Park, and I thought it was so important. And, I just gave up because I knew I had to get sober, otherwise nothing would change, and eventually I'd probably die an alcoholic death. Probably pretty soon. I don't think I'm the type of guy that's going to hang on for a while. So, I went through the steps, and things got a lot better. And I got to say, I don't know what happened during the process, but something happened. I don't know if it was at the fourth and fifth. I don't know if it was at the ninth step or even the first step. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden my thinking started changing. And I started to trust in God and find a relationship with God. And my life has gotten a lot better. And now I get to make amends. I made amends to my family about 7 months into sobriety when I went back for Christmas to Connecticut. And, you know, that meant a lot. That meant a lot to them. And it just felt like I was actually doing something to make things right. And I never did that in sobriety before. I never tried to do anything right. I always thought AA was just to try to get me sober. I never tried to help anybody else here. I thought all you people were here just to help me out. And that's how selfish I was. No, seriously. But today, you know, I try to reach out to other people, and whether it's trying to take somebody through the steps, you know, I don't have a sponsor right now. But if anybody's looking for a sponsor, let me know. But today it's a lot different today, man. My family, my mother's actually in town. I told her I didn't want her to come here because I didn't know how honest I was going to get, and it's only been 14 months, so I don't want to scare her yet. You know, she doesn't know the whole story. I don't think she needs to know the whole story. But you know, this is the first time that she's actually been willing to come out here because I've been a train wreck. I've been an absolute train wreck, and I've been just causing damage everywhere. You know, and today it's not like that. My family is here. It's been a beautiful day at La Jolla Shores. Just had a great day, and you know what? The obsession's been removed from me. I don't think about drinking the way I used to. Before, when I got sober or abstinent, whatever you want to call it, I always thought I was missing out on something, and I do not feel like I'm missing out on anything now. I feel like I'm just beginning my life. And, you know, I don't shut the door on the past because I need to remember what happened and where I came from. And I got to say, man, it's a wild life. And if you're new, just stick around just to see if the miracle is going to happen, because it'll happen. For me, you know, it didn't happen overnight. It definitely didn't. I'm a stubborn guy, and I had to do what I had to do to find out and get a full knowledge of my condition. And I don't know how much more I really got to say. How much more time do I have? 3 more minutes, huh? All right, let me see. Yeah. Oh, one thing. My sobriety date. January 27, 2013. I'll tell you a little bit about when I got sober. I lost a job. And when I lost a job, I lost a job from drinking, and I was already in the hospital. And I went to the hospital 3 times in about 3 weeks. In the third time I went to the hospital, I blew a .43, and I had Valium in me. And the doctors were looking at me like, we can't believe that you're not a vegetable. We can't believe that you're even coherent and able to have a conversation with us, just because I was drinking around the clock constantly. And my friend, this is where I feel like I had a divine intervention with God. Somebody saw me on the street walking around just a mess. Somebody told my sober friend, this guy Matt, and said, "Like, have you seen James? Like, he looks like a bum." And he heard that, and he knew where I lived. And he crawled through my third-story apartment window up my fire escape because he heard that I was in trouble. And all he saw was a blinking TV on. And he went in there, and what happened is the second time when I got out of the hospital, I immediately started drinking. And they said, "We can't help you. You were just here. You're going to drink again. Like, we don't want to see you here." And they said, "Do you want Librium or Valium?" And I said Valium. So here I was drinking a fifth of Jim Beam and then also taking Valium. And I remember sitting on that couch and thinking, like, "Oh, my God, this I don't know if I'm going to make it through the night." And then my friend Matt just randomly shows up, and he's the one that got me down and got me help. And I don't know what would have happened. And that's what it took me. And then I remember waking up and starting to get sober in CMH. And at first I was like, "Why am I here? Like, how the hell did I get here?" And then I was like, "Oh, I get it now. I get it." And, you know, I feel like that was the beginning of my recovery, really. And that's what it took me. And, you know, that just gave me the willingness to go through everything. And, you know, that's about all I got. But all I can say is if you're new, stick around and just become a part. There's great people in these rooms. And, you know, I never had the relationships that I have. Like today, like my friends are not the friends that I used to have. These people care about where I'm at in life and what I do with my life and where I'm going to go with my life. And they want to be a part, and I want to be a part of their life. So all I want to say is thank you very much for listening to me tonight.